It's just after dawn in one of the world's most beautiful cities. This misty morning, a picture-perfect start to the day. And Damian Bluemeyer looks the picture of health, but the image is deceptive.
I've been waiting for a kidney transplant, and as far as I'm concerned, I need to be as fit as possible to give myself the best possible chance of recovering from major surgery.
Damian inherited a rare form of kidney disease from his mother. It claimed her life when he was just a boy. The fact that Damian's kidneys don't work affects the simplest of rituals, even his choice of morning coffee.
Get a double espresso.
Cappuccino has too much milk, and he hasn't had soup in a decade. Damian must ration all liquid because his body can't get rid of fluid, putting him at risk of swelling, heart damage, or a stroke from high blood pressure.
If you've got to consider the amount of fluid that a bowl of rice absorbs when it's cooking, for example, all those things get taken into account. And because my body isn't able to get rid of fluids, I count all those things over a two-day basis.
Damien's unquenchable thirst also prompts a dream.
The biggest one is just being able to go to the sink and drink a glass of water. And I've just had this, if you want to call it a fantasy, this fantasy of being able to just fill my stomach with water.
So every other day, Damien does what nearly 400,000 Americans do.
So this is where you have dialysis.
It is indeed. This is the dialysis room.
Without dialysis, he would be dead in a few weeks. The machine removes extra water, waste, and salt from his body and keeps chemicals like potassium at a safe level in his blood. The software programmer is tethered to this machine an average of 25 hours a week. Australia has universal health care, and Damien's dialysis treatment, more than $50,000 a year, is covered by the government. It's a life-saving procedure, but not a cheap or easy one.
The dialysis process involves putting a couple of needles in your arm, and then essentially the dialysis machine works as your artificial kidney for 5 hours. And unfortunately, putting needles in your arm every second day does sort of give the arm a bit of a beating, so it's not looking too pretty these days.
But there's another cost. For more than 10 years, more than 3,800 days and nights, Damien has kept his cell phone within arm's reach, hoping for a call instructing him to rush to the hospital because a compatible kidney has been found. But when we talked to him in February, the call still hadn't come. The uncertainty is hard on him and his two young sons, and he says it's one reason his marriage foundered.
Living with someone who has a chronic illness is almost as difficult as living with a chronic illness. I mean, given the fact that it impacts pretty much every day, it certainly weighed heavily on the marriage and very much changed who we were as people over the 10-year period, I think.
Damien's story is typical of those in the United States and Australia seeking organ transplants. In Australia, the average wait for a kidney is 4 years. In America, it's 3 to 5 years, depending on blood type. But now, a new Australian initiative has raised the donation and transplantation rates here to the highest level in a quarter century.
The key thing that we've done is we've picked best practice from around the globe.
Yale Cass is the CEO of the Organ and Tissue Authority, set up to oversee the $151 million national reform package, which went into effect in 2009. The Organ and Tissue Authority has intensified efforts to increase community awareness across Australia.
My name's Jessica.
Including public service announcements like this one.
Organ and tissue donation is very important to talk about with your family, that they can give someone the second chance like I got, because giving the gift of life is the greatest gift.
The Australian government has also offered specialized new training to some 600 health professionals. They have the difficult role of talking to family members when the opportunity for organ donation arises because a loved one is dying. Created Australia's first paired kidney exchange in 2010 to increase live donor kidney transplants. A sophisticated computer is used to identify matches between sets of would-be donors and would-be recipients. And instituted paid leave for living donors. The $1.3 million initiative reimburses employers for giving donors time off work to to recuperate from major surgery. That program began last year, and Rosemary Wiebe was the first to sign up. A photography teacher at a Sydney boys' school, photos also reveal Rosemary's greatest love, family. When her brother Simon learned he needed a kidney, she was delighted she proved a match.
Last year he had three operations and they were quite hard. It was seeing your brother suffering the whole time, and I just thought, if I can do something, I'll just do it.
Good to see you, Rosemary. Long time no see. Please come in. How are you going with the pain?
I'm getting much better.
But it took time to recuperate from surgery, and Rosemary was thankful her time off was paid. She received just over $600 a week for 6 weeks. Her employer was reimbursed by the federal government.
I didn't have to worry that I'm using sick pay that I had saved up or using something that I don't have.
So that's pretty good kidney, working very well. That was good of your sister, wasn't it?
Initial signs suggest the new program is encouraging more people to be living donors, helping more people like Simon.
What's it like to feel like somebody saved your life? I mean, I owe her my life, really.
While living donors are important, some organs can only come from deceased donors who must register their consent. But since a potential donor's decision can be overridden by distraught relatives, Cass says training staff for conversations with grieving families is key.
Organ donation is an incredibly rare event. Less than 1% of people who die in hospitals are potential organ donors in Australia. It's a small number of people, and we need the circumstances absolutely perfect.
All this thinking and planning, Cass says, has contributed to a 60% leap in the number of donors in Australia in the past 4 years. But she says much remains to be done.
We're not resting on our laurels because we know that we can still continue to change the way in which we manage our donation practice in Australia and continue to provide more transplants for people who are waiting.
At Westmead Hospital, the clinic is humming. Dr. Jeremy Chapman is a renal physician here and the past president of the International Transplantation Society.
This January, we did in a period of 3 weeks, one quarter of the whole year's transplants. On a daily basis, we're busier. That's quite clear. You saw the clinic today, it was chaos. That's great. Love chaos. Organised chaos.
If you were to give Australia a badge, what would you give it?
Oh, I think we'd have to have the badge for most improved in the last couple of years.
And Damien Blumeyer would agree. He's indulging in what was for so long a forbidden pleasure.
Oh, it's fantastic. Something I've dreamed about for, well, for 10 years.
Just days ago, Damien received a call at 5:10 a.m. A kidney from a deceased donor was a perfect match. He is grateful to the family of that donor and conscious of a debt he will do his best to repay.
As much as I've benefited from, you know, the sadness in their life, it's just given me, I'm only 40 years of age, so at 40 years old I've got so many years ahead of me, and I've sort of been treading water for the last decade, the last quarter of my life, and they've given me the opportunity to get over that hurdle and now just go and grab life by the horns and ride it as hard as I can.
And he's only just beginning to picture all the things he can and will do in his new life.